Good morning, and please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. This morning, I definitely want you, when you come up for communion, to stick your hands in this water and to remember your baptism and to make the sign of the cross either on your forehead or fully on your body, remembering that you are God's beloved child and that no matter what you do, you will always be God's beloved child because that's how much God loves you. We heard in our scripture this morning prayer. And prayer is such a critical part of our life as people who are centered on Christ. It's our daily connection to God. And sometimes we think that we have to get all elaborate in our prayers, in our conversation. But you know something? We don't. It's just that. It's a conversation that we have with God. And sometimes when we have this conversation, it feels incredibly comfortable, doesn't it? And other times when we have this conversation, it's like we just don't even know what to say. But the Holy Spirit knows what's on our hearts. We may be stumbling for words, words because of pure joy. How about when you hold a newborn in your hands for the first time? And you look down at that child. It does not have to be your child. That child doesn't even have to be related to you. And tears of joy will just flow from your eyes. That is a prayer to God in thanksgiving for this child. Or the times in our life when our grief overwhelms us, whatever that might be, whether it is a loss of a beloved friend or family member or a spouse, whether it's loss of a job, a point in which we are in deep grief and pain. And the words just don't come, but the tears flow. That is prayer, where our tears are reaching out for God to hear us. And we pray through many different means. We pray through dance, through music, through art, through food, through writing. I'm a big prayer through writing. There are so many ways in which we pray and we have a conversation with God. And Jesus taught us the perfect prayer, right? Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will, gracious Lord God, not ours, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, we know we're not just talking about food, right? We're talking about the things that we need for everyday life. Work. Food. Nourishing food. Water. Shelter. Friends and family are all part of that daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Oh, forgiveness. Forgive us that confession. Forgive us for what we've done. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God doesn't lead us into temptation. We ask here that God keep us from evil and guard and protect us from that. And all of these things that we ask for in this perfect prayer, we ask for us, right? It's a very personal prayer that we're asking for us. I'm curious, do you think Jesus prayed this prayer while he was here, away from his heavenly home? How awesome would that be when you think about that Jesus prayed these same words that we pray. Then there is another type of prayer. That is the prayer that we pray on behalf of the other. And that one is called intercessory prayers. And we say them here every single Sunday. We may say it for a person that we know. We may say it for people that we don't know. But usually when we say it for people we know, we pray for a very specific outcome, don't we? And many times it's usually when that person is ill. Usually that's when we will pray that intercessory prayer for the person that we know. We're asking for a certain outcome to happen. We're asking for healing. We're asking for wholeness. We received a thank you card a couple of weeks back. There are two little twin girls who were having some surgery on their ankles in the back. They walk on their toes. They're not able to walk fully on their feet. And we sent them prayer bears and included them in our prayers. And they're seven. And they wrote back, this is the words that they put, I never knew that people prayed for people that they've never seen before. How awesome is that? And they said in that note that they wrote, thank you. I feel so loved that you prayed for me. These little girls are going to be in full casts for about 3 months, and then after that they will be in braces for at least 1 or 2 years. So our prayers continue that when all is done, they'll be able to walk again and run fully on their feet. It feels really good when someone else prays for us, especially when we hear their prayers. And that's exactly what's happening with the disciples. They're overhearing Jesus saying a prayer on their behalf. Jesus prayed all the time, and we know that. We always hear it in Scripture, especially in Luke's Gospel. But here it is that Jesus prays out loud for the disciples. And here's what Jesus says. He says to God, please, gracious Father, keep them in one heart and one mind in me. Let them be in this relationship, this fellowship of nothing but love and unconditional love. It's going to be tough out there for them. I'm going to be leaving and ascending back to you after my resurrection, and they will be here alone. They are being charged with carrying on the message, my message, our message, of what has been done through me. Keep them together in one mind and one heart so they don't quarrel among themselves, but united together. Focus as me as the center, they're able to move out into the world. Guard and protect them from evil that will come their way, especially because of the message that they're bringing. Sanctify them. Keep them holy every single day for the work that they have been charged to do. Their mission, to make my love known. My unconditional and your unconditional love. That through my death and through my resurrection, they too have died and have risen to new life. The disciples hear this, and they listen to this prayer. And I don't know that they fully even comprehend what Jesus is saying when he talks about ascending, because that's way down the road. They don't even realize that Jesus is going to be resurrected. They hear it, but they don't realize it. And then there's another type of prayer that we pray. Have you ever done this one before? We pray for those who are not yet born and for the people who will come into their life. My niece is pregnant. We now found out she's having a little boy. And I do pray that this child is born healthy, but I also extend that prayer out. I pray for this little boy's first grade teacher, who he doesn't even know yet. This child doesn't have any. God is knitting this child together in his mother's womb. I pray for his first grade teacher. I pray for his bus driver when he goes to school. I pray for his friends
who aren't even born yet. I pray for his pastor, who God knows who that will be, his Sunday school teacher. I pray for his first love, that he isn't too heartbroken. I pray for his spouse, for his entire life. And it does sound strange, doesn't it? I pray for all these things that I don't know that they're going to happen or that they're going to happen yet. But I make that prayer known to God, for God knows all of the friends that he will have who are not yet born yet. And you know something? It sounds weird, but that is exactly what God is doing today in the prayer. Our Lord Jesus Christ is praying for those who have not yet been born. Hear the words Jesus says. I'm praying not only for them, meaning the disciples, but also for those who will believe in me because of the disciples' witness about me. Those who will. The goal, Jesus says, is for all of them to become one heart and one mind, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so they might be one heart and mind with us. Jesus, in this prayer that we hear this morning, is praying not only for the disciples, but for you and for me. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? When you hear this passage, I want you to think about that all the time. We hear Jesus praying specifically for you and for me. This is the Lord's prayer that is for us. The other Lord's prayer, we might want to call it. When you see Cassidy today, I want you to look at her beautiful gown. Not because the gown itself is beautiful and she looks adorable in it, but because of what that gown represents. That gown represents the believers for three generations, the ones who Jesus in this very prayer prayed for grandma, for mom, and now for Cassidy. That is a garment of God's righteousness cloaked around Cassidy. When you see that, remember that all of her family, all of your family, and all of our families to come along with us are being prayed for by our Lord Jesus. That's the other Lord's Prayer. Amen.